Ross Molin Podcast. Welcome back for episode 150 of the Ross Bolin Podcast, otherwise known as RBP 150, brought to you by Grand X Media. I am your host, Ross Bolin, here at the Grand X Media Studios on another great and blessed day in Austin, Texas, with the still irrational Michael Weiner.
Hashtag blessed.
How are you, sir?
Man, I'm okay.
Intern AJ's here, too.
What's up, gang? Ross, Micah, good to see you.
How are you doing?
I'm good, you know, just like the weather is pretty depressing, so.
Not cranking, though.
Yeah, no, still no. Yeah. And anyone in the gang who's following me, stay strong.
What's wrong with you? We're not talking about that at the front of the show.
What's wrong
That's
with you?
It's not a conversation topic for 11 a.m. on a Monday. AJ, bringing it up.
Sorry, you know.
That's on you.
Very inappropriate.
Yeah. Yeah. Speaking of inappropriate, RBP 150 is brought to you by Lisa. That's a transition that will never be beat. Everybody has the right to rest, and the key to getting your best rest is the right mattress. Meet Lisa with two awesome mattresses, accessories, and bases for deeper, better rest. The all-foam Lisa mattress is new and improved, featuring cooling LSA 200 foam for enhanced pressure relief for side sleepers specifically, or you can rest on their Sapira. It's their hybrid mattress. It's the one that I have. It's the perfect combination of foam and spring for pressure relief and edge-to-edge support. It's the best bed I've ever had, bar none. The Sapira by Lisa is incredible. Again, I could not more highly recommend it. Incredibly comfortable, beautiful, easy. Lisa's whole process is so easy, man. You buy it on their site. It comes straight to your door in a box. You never have to leave the couch if you don't want to until the bed arrives. If you're the laziest person in the world and you transition from the couch to the bed, just like I do, it's the best. From day one, Lisa set out to create a company with heart. And that's why they donate one mattress for every 10 they sell through organizations that work in causes like foster care prevention. And to date, they've donated more than 32,000 mattresses through more than 1,000 nonprofits. Don't miss out on their extended President's Day sale. Get 15% off any mattress for a limited time at lisa.com/RBP. Use the promo code RBP. That's LEESA.com/RBP. Promo code RBP. If you're new to our show, the Ross Bolin Podcast, every episode is broken down into segments, which you can find with time cues below in the description. You don't have to have listened to any of the preceding episodes in order to enjoy RBP 150. Frankly, you don't have to have heard a single one of the 149 that exist. But if you like the show, if you get the feeling, you know what, this might be the podcast for me, go back, listen to all the episodes that are backlogged for you so you don't miss out on any inside jokes or running jokes, things of that nature, priceless knowledge, whether it be about animals or pirates or serial killers or life in general. It's all there for you in 150 episodes now, so be sure you go back and get caught up. Here's a personal anecdote for the non-skippers as a reward for not skipping through the intro. Y'all know that I stay streaming all kinds of shit. Netflix, Amazon, Hulu, HBO, I got them all going constantly. Taylor and I love finding new good shows. Well, we went through a really hardcore phase at one point where we crushed like 10 British serial crime dramas in like a month. Because if you didn't know this, that's what the British do. They make British serial crime dramas better than anyone else, and they're always like a random and indiscriminate amount of episodes per season. Like some of these shows, it's like 3 episodes, and then some it's 6 episodes, and it's like, what the fuck is going on here? In America, we just do 10. But anyway, one of the British serial crime dramas that we watched starred fresh Best Actress winner Olivia Colman, who was incredible at the Oscars last night. And the show's called Broadchurch. And for those of you who are now new Olivia Colman fans since falling in love with her last night, Broadchurch is a great show. It's not a happy show, so be warned. It's very British, and again, it's crime drama. If you combine those two things, not a lot of smiles and laughs, but it's a very good crime drama from the best to ever do it, the British. Boom. You just got a random Netflix recommendation that the skippers will never have unless they follow me on Twitter or have heard me talk about Broadchurch before. Moving on. You can follow us on Instagram at the Ross Bolin Podcast, where every day we make our Instagram story comprised of photos and videos sent in by you, the RBP gang, our listeners. Today, I have not had the opportunity to fill up our Instagram story yet, so you're going to have to bear with me. Hopefully, by the time this episode drops, it'll be full. But all those photos and videos that I just spoke to, they come in through Snapchat. My Snapchat's at WR Bolin. Mike's is at MicahTX. You keep the good stuff coming, and we will take it, and we will put it on our Instagram story at the Ross Bolin Podcast for everybody to enjoy every single day. We're on Twitter at Ross Bolin Pod, and we are also allegedly on Facebook somewhere. I have reached out to Facebook management to attempt to locate the URL, and when I do, I will consider providing it to you, but it's likely that I'll just forget about this whole thing and never talk about it again. So follow those three places, all right? Instagram, Twitter, figure out Facebook if you want. Some announcements and amends. First, shout out to Francis Nolan for being a part of the RBP gang and the Clam Fam. That's called being twice as gangster. I was featured in the Wall Street Journal again, which was very strange.
Shouts. Way to go.
Yeah, there was this column. It's called Mr. Kraft and the Sports Owner God Complex, and it's a first of all, if you didn't know this, the Wall Street Journal has a paywall now, so you can't read shit past, like, they give you, like, one free click a day or something like that. So there's this article about Robert Kraft, and we discussed what happened with him getting, you know, dinghy tugged on or played with or whatever he was doing at a massage parlor when he was indicted as part of a federal investigation. Anyway, there's an article in the Wall Street Journal by Jason Gay that came out yesterday, February 24th, 2019, about this situation. I don't know the angle because I can't read the column anymore, but and yesterday when I actually had access to it, I had access to it for whatever reason. I didn't read it because I was stoned and didn't feel like it. But I was embedded in the middle of this column, a seemingly very random tweet. It was actually about, I was watching a basketball game or a football game, and they showed a shot of Meek Mill in an owner's box with Bob Kraft. And I was like, that's funny as shit. Meek Mill hanging out with Robert Kraft. Robert Kraft is, like, notorious for being in situations that he shouldn't be in, like dancing with Gronk on the club dance floor or, like, hanging out with rappers at a strip club. And it's like, wait, what the fuck? How is this, like, 78-year-old man? I mean, I don't know what his age is. I need to look it up real quick. He's old, though. He's what? 70 fucking 7, dude. He's an old man. He shouldn't be in those situations. Him hanging out with Meek Mill was funny to me, so I took a picture of it and I put it up on Twitter, and it just said something simple. I didn't even make a joke. I was like, Meek Mill sitting in the owner's box with Robert Kraft. Just because it was such an odd coupling. That was embedded in the middle of this Wall Street Journal column, and I was like, what the fuck? Then today when I got back on to like prepare for this segment, basically, announcement, whatever, it was gone. They had replaced my tweet with a photo, which was weird. What did the editor go back in? And he was like, who the fuck's this W.R. Bolin character? Get this guy out of here. Let's get a picture of Bob in here from, Getty Images or whatever. Weird. But it was fun being in the Wall Street Journal again, and I would like them to cut the check. That's it for announcements. Oh, go to rowdygentleman.com/gang. Get yourself a Gang Cubed shirt. Free shipping on orders over $50 on Rowdy Gentleman. And you can use the code RBP15 to get 15% off your entire order. So go to rowdygentleman.com today/gang. If you want to grab yourself a Gang Cubed shirt, then fill up that cart with over $50 worth of stuff so you get free shipping and use that code RBP15 for 15% off. No amends. So let's do it. Let's get into the first segment. Defining slang for washed adults. All right, you're going to need to follow me very closely here if you're an older millennial. And even older listeners who were just clicking around on iTunes and accidentally joined a gang, you're really going to need to pay attention. I was playing Apex Legends, which is the coolest new video game that children and people who had video games when they were children play. And in this game, you get matched up with strangers to be teammates, like much like you would if you showed up to a golf course by yourself. You'd get thrown into a foursome with three other people that you didn't know before. That's how these Battle Royale games work. If you show up solo to the lobby, you get paired up with other people. One of my teammates in a game this past weekend was a stranger who was young millennial scum, and he said to me at one point, "I'm just memeing you." And I knew what he was doing. All right, he was using memeing in place of like, "I'm just fucking with you," or "I'm just messing with you," "I'm just joking with you." Instead, he said, "I'm just memeing you." And I heard him and I knew, like, point, you know, my brain is good enough to where it just fucking, it figured that out very quickly. But I was like, "What'd you say?" He was like, "Memeing you?" And I was like, "You're whatting me?" He's like, "Memeing, like, you know, meme." I was like, "Yeah, no, I got you. I just wanted to make sure." No, abso-fucking-lutely not. This is not an actual thing that we're letting happen. If you're using this phrase, if you're a millennial who's doing this, adopting this verb, abort mission, you're done. It's over. I don't know if this was actually a thing that was catching steam. It's possible. I'm not willing to take the risk, though. All I can do is recognize a potential issue when I see it and eliminate said issue. And people saying memeing instead of joking or kidding is just not something we can afford at this point as a people. AJ, you're in college. Have you ever heard anybody say this?
I was going to say, I never heard of this in my entire life.
I'm hoping it's an isolated incident of some dork on Apex Legends trying to fuck around and like pave the way for other people to say this. I just wanted to make sure it gets shut down before anybody else has a chance.
How old was this kid? Was he like a teenager? Sounds like he's like 15.
I'm going to guess he was probably 18. I bet he was like a freshman in college, but he was a... You know, I don't think he was like a Mac daddy or anything like that.
I was going to say, he doesn't sound very cool. He's definitely
He said, "I'm just memeing you."
Yeah, I don't... Really, that doesn't even make sense if you think about it.
It doesn't make sense on like a fun, like a logical,
like
fundamental
grammatically
level.
Grammatically or whatever.
Right. Yeah, here's what Urban Dictionary says, that memeing is the act of saying something completely inane and dumb, but in a way that makes it sound as if you're quite serious about it, whether you are or not.
So trolling...
Or sarcasm?
Like, trolling is what I think of when you say that.
That's a much better definition. That's yeah. Trolling, right?
Yeah.
You're saying something in a way that makes it sound like you're serious when you're not. I don't know. This is, I'm just saying.
I would be afraid that this guy was trying to like screenshot you or something and embarrass you, make you into a meme. Like, I just roasted this Ross Bolin guy. What an old loser he is.
I just memed this
fucking old fuck. You into a meme. But yeah. I don't think that's what he meant, or that's not what it sounds like he meant.
I don't know what he meant. It doesn't matter. No one should ever say this ever again, no matter what it means. You don't memeing. Memeing is not a verb. We're not memeing.
A meme is a noun. A meme is a thing, a picture, a video.
I mean, you could, people say you just got memed.
Do they?
I never heard that.
I mean, I've seen that on Twitter where it's like, I mean, I don't know what
you make somebody into a meme.
Twitter's not the real world. Twitter's just jokes.
You got memes.
See, that's, I agree with that.
Yeah, you make someone into
that's not
a
something
meme.
You say to a real person.
I don't think it's a verb.
That's like something where if, I don't know.
Here's what Wikipedia
says. If they cut to Bradley Cooper's wife after Lady Gaga and Bradley Cooper performed.
Yeah, that's a meme.
People on Twitter would be like, she just got memed.
They just memed her. Okay, now I think it is a verb.
But, I mean, I don't know. That's the only thing I can think of. I've never encountered
this. Here's what Wikipedia says. It's an idea, behavior, or style, a meme is, that spreads from one person to person within a culture, often with the aim of conveying a particular phenomenon, theme, or meaning represented by the meme. Meme. What is this? A meme acts as a unit for carrying cultural ideas, symbols, or practices that can be transmitted from one mind to another through writing, speech, gestures, rituals, or other imitatable phenomena with a mimicked theme. It just sounds like language to me.
What, has the word meme always existed? Or is Because I don't know if, like, before, you know, memes actually came about, if there was the word meme that we never really used, you know.
Is it just it turns defined. Out all this time? First of all, apparently it was invented by a British evolutionary biologist named Richard Dawkins. That can't be right.
And how do we even stumble? Like right. How do we even stumble across that word and started using it?
Mother,
like who decided? Fucker. Like, hey, this picture is a meme, and then it just
I don't know,
just
man.
Blew up,
and
know?
Now it just can you can use it for any verb or noun or any kind of word. Is our entire language about to be replaced by one word, meme? It's a question that I think people should be asking themselves. What's a neologism? 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 Neologism. That's not how it's pronounced, for the record. Anyway, that was memeing. Don't say memeing. Don't meme.
Yeah,
stop
let's,
making
let's
memes.
Stop that right now.
Stop. Just stop everything you're doing, and don't ever go back. Next segment. We're far from the shallow now. We're not doing a segment examining the Oscars, for the record. The show wasn't good in the first place, and everybody already has to watch it. We all have to watch it. It's usually bad. Some years when it's over, you feel sad. We're not going to do a recap of the Oscars. This is just about the song Shallow. The song is iconic. The movie was dope. So we'll for sure do a segment about Shallow, which won. What is it? Best song?
Original
best
song.
Best original song?
Yeah.
At the Oscars last night, which is super cool. I was a little weirded out by Bradley Cooper's his lack of involvement in the he didn't get a writing credit or like accept the award with her. What the fuck?
Yeah, I didn't understand it either. How's that happen?
I thought he was heavily involved in.
He did not write the song though.
Okay, so only the songwriter.
The songwriters are the ones that
gets the award.
Yes,
he didn't even go up on stage. He just
yes,
right?
Gaga
he just stayed
and
in
a host
seat.
Of songwriters.
Okay,
wrote the song, but.
There was
Cooper was not part of that.
Right. So there was a lot of lead up to this performance that Bradley Cooper and Lady Gaga, by the way, they performed Shallow together at this award show at the Oscars last night. If you didn't watch it yet, a pretty damn good performance. But there was a lot of drama surrounding this entire thing. We don't typically talk about celebrity gossip, so we're going to have a little bit of celebrity gossip talk here, which is a rarity on RBP. Bradley Cooper's married, for those of you who don't know. To Irina Shayk, who's an incredibly hot ex-Victoria, maybe still Victoria's Secret model. She's dated, like, Cristiano Ronaldo. She dated The Rock.
It's quite a list.
She's one of the, like, I would argue, probably 5-10 most, what's the word I'm looking for? Desirable celebrity females, like, in the A-list circle, I would say.
I would say so.
Like, she runs, the dudes that she dates are not, she's not dating broke dudes. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not calling her a gold digger, but I'm saying that's just the class she's in. So, excuse me. Her and Bradley Cooper have been married for a little bit, like a couple years. They have a kid. Nobody knows this because they keep their relationship incredibly private, right? Now, I don't mean nobody knows this. Surely those of you who keep up with pop culture super close and follow the tabloids and all that shit or check Snapchat, Discover... you knew this perhaps. Well, I didn't really even know this. I forgot, honestly. Like, I didn't even think I had completely written Bradley Cooper off as like the nice guy who doesn't do this, like knock up supermodels and shit. Like, I had written it. They're fucking married, and it just doesn't fit in the Bradley Cooper that I had in my head. Anyway, yesterday I had to force myself to remember this, that he's married to Irina Shayk, and apparently. All of this attention around Shallow, around the movie A Star Is Born, Lady Gaga and Bradley Cooper starring in it, playing lovers in it, man and wife in it, it has created some conflict inside the Cooper household. Or at the very least, it has driven, I mean, maybe it's not the actual, it's the tabloids and the drama and the gossip that might be creating the conflict. And it's
well, the fuel behind this is also that Lady Gaga has killed her engagement.
Another engagement, yeah. This is number two, I think.
Who's she engaged to?
Just, it was like one of the guys. Guy? It's like someone in her inner circle, actually. So which makes it even odder. Like, I don't know how you.
But they have either called it off or broken up or combination.
They're
of
no
two,
longer engaged.
And she showed up at the Grammys without him, and then they announced it this week, and now we have this.
Yeah, and I mean, look, it's I'm not going to sit here and pretend that like. I'm that interested in Bradley Cooper, Lady Gaga, and Irina Shayk's potential love triangle, because I'm not. But I am super interested in, and always have been interested in, this aspect of Hollywood is very fascinating to me. Like how you separate the acting, the act, the job, the lie from real life. Like it was crazy watching, okay, Bradley Cooper sitting front row with Irina Shayk next to him, his wife, and then on the other side of her, Lady Gaga. And then when they hit him with the camera for their performance to start, and she like reaches across and they grab hands over Irina Shayk, like stand up and walk up onto the stage.
I didn't even catch that.
It was so funny. But you could see, physically see, Bradley Cooper turn it on. And you know what I'm saying? Like, by that I mean get into the zone to play his role and to do the performance, to perform as a performer. You saw him turn it on. Like, you saw his face change. And I mean, literally, mid performance, I saw his face change. Like, the second he's walking onto the stage, you saw him turn it on. And then the second the song ended, before he could even stand up from the piano bench, I saw him transform back into regular-ass Bradley Cooper and turn it off. Which was just nuts to me, because it's like, first of all, I would also note, I think it might just be permanently on for Lady Gaga at this point. That's neither here nor there. Anyway, that kind of like, some people clearly don't have the ability to separate it from each other. All these, how often do, you know, starring males and females end up in relationships after they do movies together and shit? It happens all the time.
Can I ask you a question to kind of segue off of that?
Yeah.
What, like, so while Gaga and Bradley Cooper were filming the movie, or I guess even whenever they performed the song.
Right.
Do you feel like there are real, genuine feelings of passion just because they get so caught up in their character?
Yeah, yeah.
Because I feel like it kind of correlates to what you're saying, trying to differentiate the two.
Right.
But, like, I feel like they get so caught up in the moment, or especially when they were filming the movie, I'm assuming.
Well, that's the question. Is like,
that they
can
just feel
you,
that passion. Like, they might have got maybe a little too into it at certain points.
Like, can you fake it to make it real and not have it affect you? And the other side of this that's crazy and so stupid is all these little monsters, which is what Lady Gaga calls her millions and millions of fans, rooting for Lady Gaga and Bradley Cooper to end up together in real life. Now, these are the same females, for the most part, that would trash a dude for breaking up a marriage, yet they're actually actively rooting for Lady Gaga to break up a marriage, which is so fucking dumb on so many different levels. That is like just given so much steam to this whole situation and made it even stupider to me. But anyway, I don't have the answers. Like I'm asking the questions because this thing is so interesting. I got the feeling that Bradley Cooper could not wait to be past this moment, to be on the other side of this Oscars moment, and that he was fucking sick and tired of getting bitched at by his wife because of Lady Gaga. That's the feeling I got watching the dude operate at the Oscars yesterday. And no one can convince me otherwise. Like, he's sick of it. It's played out for him at this point. He doesn't want this to be the thing that everybody focuses on anymore. It's like, how many months ago did he finish the movie? You know what I mean? Like, directing it, starring in it,
the press run.
He's beyond the movie at this point, and I think it's an annoying thing for him.
And he talked a lot about how he had spent 3 years making this movie, learned to sing and
play guitar, fucking piano.
It's a long process.
I didn't see any interviews with him yesterday or whatever, but
I didn't either, for the record.
I'm sure he felt, and he's probably never sung in public. He did at the Las Vegas residency thing, but. He's never sung in front of a big audience. And the whole thing last night was this performance. That's the only reason anyone... I mean, I know people watch the Oscars.
It was the most overhyped moment ever.
We'll talk about the actual performance in a second.
Yeah.
But you got to understand, like, this has got to be the end of this chapter for him. Like, that's it.
That was
the movie
though.
Came out six months ago.
Yeah.
He knew that he was going to win, you know, he was going to be up for the awards. As soon as he finished that performance last night, he's like, that's it. I'm on to the next
thing. He literally put his arms up in the air like, we did it. It's over. Because that was the climax.
We did it.
Yeah, it was all to get to that. I mean, you know Shallow's doing a billion streams today. It was all to get to that moment. And that was it. They accomplished what they needed.
Yeah, and I mean, he's never... Like, that's got to be an amazing feeling for him.
I'm sure it is, but I think he was so relieved.
And satisfaction, and, you know, I won't guess which of what the percentage of each was, but that's got to be a thing. Can we talk about the performance?
Absolutely, yeah, for a sec.
What were your thoughts on the way it was shot with this sort of single camera? There was no introduction; it just sort of popped up.
I thought it was a little weird. It made me, because I had never seen a performance shot in that style. I guess.
Yeah.
It was very like up close and personal, almost like 3D feeling.
Yeah, it was very cinematic.
Yeah.
In the way that it, like, about halfway through, I'm like, this is something. This isn't like a performance you've seen at any other award show.
No.
This isn't the MTV Awards. This isn't the Grammys.
No.
There's one camera.
It's very stripped down.
They never moved. And it every shot of it, you could tell there were cues.
Uh-huh.
Like they had rehearsed it.
Oh, yeah.
And he got up at just the right moment with the camera, the piano. And then that final shot of them.
They got the
so
perfect.
So close. That
yes.
angle is.
Yes.
I mean, they must have spent hours planning this shot by shot.
Someone very, very good put this together.
Yes.
Because it had like the social media moment where, like you mentioned, they both turned towards each other and it was like, are they going to kiss? Yeah.
Yes, it was very dramatic.
You didn't think that was genuine? But I thought she was really about to go
for
it.
No, bro. You don't think all that's planned?
Oh,
you don't,
I don't know.
A married dude sitting in the front row with his wife who's a supermodel between him and Lady Gaga had to plan every fucking second of that and have it explained verbatim to his wife so that she would be fully prepared to handle what she was about to see on stage. All that was, that's one thing I don't think people realize, like how much work goes into these award shows even, and how much thought goes into these Hollywood relationships and situations like that.
Well, and this especially, like directing, producing the Oscars is a huge deal. This is one of the biggest television shows the whole year. Okay, and the people that do this are generally like long time. They have the same producer year after year after year because they're such a professional, intense thing.
Yeah. And it's such a like specific
and leading up to this,
task.
We all knew the single most important part of this award show, because the award show is mostly just clips and editing, but the live production element of this is all about the nobody care. Like, okay, cool, Queen opened the show, great. Nobody really gives a shit. This is the thing. People, this was all of the promotion was all leading to these two people singing on stage. I thought it was ballsy to have just a one camera guy. Like,
yeah.
It was all in the one hand of that one camera guy. That was it. If that guy drops a camera or turns his ankle or like...
Come on, camera guy.
The whole thing, yeah. Come on, camera guy. It was really... That to me and was really amazing. The way they blocked it, it was just really cool. I thought visually, and I've watched it two or three times since, it was really cool.
And
the song, I don't know if the song seemed shorter than it was
in
the movie.
Yeah,
it was only like... it's only like a 3-minute
I think it was a shortened version. Of the song, but she crushed it. I thought she was incredible.
And we were all waiting for her to say, "I'm off the deep end, watch as I dive." And she nailed it.
There it goes.
Because she's fucking Lady Gaga.
Everybody's
She's incredible, man. You have to give her credit. But that was the moment the whole world was waiting for, and she delivered.
Yeah.
But just for a 3-minute piece of music, it was well done.
Did you get the
credit?
I was almost like I could see, like. Did you miss Lady Gaga and Bradley Cooper's unforgettable performance at the Grammys? Order the VHS tape now to rewatch. You know what I mean? Like, that was the feeling of watching the performance. It was like, yo, they're going to sell this. People are going to rewatch this. It was like it was made for YouTube so that you could Google Bradley Cooper and Lady Gaga Oscars and watch it. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, and that's all you saw on social media, like all over Twitter. That's literally the only thing you saw.
Which is, by the way, my number one argument for not watching these fucking award shows is that you get all the best moments on social media anyway, and really, you're getting like 3.5 hours worth of viewing time for like 30 minutes worth of content is what my dad would argue anyway.
Yeah.
If that.
No, it's true. We set the DVR last night. We were watching on delay. And the DVR cut out before Best Picture.
Oh.
Which is a classic mistake, obviously. I guess we should have.
Classic mix up.
But, like, the thing is, most of the award show, you have Gaga and Cooper, the big star power, the big scene everybody's been talking about since the trailer came out.
Yes.
And that lasts 3.5 minutes. And then you have the director of Best Foreign Film, who no one's ever heard of and may never hear from ever again, and nobody knows his fucking name. And he's going to give a speech in a second language for like 4 minutes. And it's just like that content isn't as good.
I'll also say this. We said we weren't going to do a fucking recap, but we're doing it now. I'll say this. I spent a lot of time going, who the fuck is this? A lot of not famous people on stage. And now let me be clear. I get it. look, as a not famous person, it's my dream to be on that stage. That's those people's moment. They've fucking earned it. I don't want to take anything away from them. But also, if I'm going to give you 3.5 hours of my life, you better give me some A-listers accepting awards, just
randos.
Well,
this is something that the Grammys has done, where they just don't have any awards on the show. They do like 5 over the course of a 3-hour thing, because they realize like the only people we want to see give speeches are the big stars.
Why do you watch this? It's so you can see the most famous people in the world with their
you want to see performances
in their clothes,
and you want to see insane speeches by famous people, not unfamous people.
Not like the winner of best sound editing,
which again, I feel like an asshole because those are my people I should be rooting for. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not a fucking movie star. I'm the sound editing guy if I'm going to win.
When apparently
something.
They made all these jokes about how they had planned. Now we're all in Oscar.
Well,
talk,
and being real, writer. Not I'm not a sound editing guy.
But
I would
be
on the writing
side. They had talked about how there was a plan in the Oscars to give out awards during commercials.
Oh my God. Okay, that's a little outrageous.
And so they nixed it at the last minute. But that was the plan. And actually, I'm all for it because I just want more performances.
Well, I see what you mean.
Give me the A-listers.
Strictly from an entertainment value standpoint. I mean, I guess nothing against all. I mean, obviously, there's a lot of people that put together a movie.
It sucks.
You have to give them their rightfully due credit,
right?
But off screen,
they do such a great job with like the packages where everything is edited together. And they talk about the magic of movies and they show all of that in the visuals.
It's a well done show.
They do a great job on that, but the speeches are really the lamest part, and that's what most of the show is.
And everyone gets cut off too.
Yeah,
it's really bad. Everyone gets played off.
It's so funny because it's like the most beautifully put together, well-organized piece of shit show, the Oscars. Like, it's so well done, but really what it comes down to for me is at the end of the show, that group of movies that had been nominated for Best Picture or whatever, that's what I judge the whole thing off of. And if it's last night, it felt super underwhelming when it was all said and done.
Yeah.
That's how I judge the Oscars. At the end of the day, that's what I remember.
I feel like I saw more of these movies this year than I normally had.
Really? I felt the complete opposite.
By the end, I was like, I've seen some of these, a lot more than I normally see.
I didn't know what the fuck
was going on. I saw Roma. I like Roma very much. I believe Roma would be...
I forgot all the nominees.
Micah's film of the year. I saw Bohemian Rhapsody on Saturday night. We ran it.
You said it was shit.
I did not care for it. I mean, okay.
I saw it in theaters and it was shit.
It's an enjoyable movie.
It was fun.
It's fun, but it is far. Like, I watched it and Caitlin's like, okay, what do you think? I know you're going to be a fucking critic.
Yeah.
And I was like, I enjoyed it, but there's a lot of problems with this movie, and this is far from a Best Picture nominee. It was just a fun 2-hour thing.
I've watched a lot of...
And the performance was excellent. I think Rami Malek or whatever that's...
I'm not a fan of him.
Oh, I love him. I thought
he was excellent. And I thought he was maybe deserving. But the movie itself, just kind of a mess.
I've watched a lot of really, really good movies like that everyone unanimously agreed upon classics. Since I saw what's it called?
Bohemian Rhapsody
in theaters. It's just not very good. And that's just point blank. Like, it's just not very good.
Well, it just makes you question why.
It's fun.
It makes you question the whole thing.
It's fun, like you said.
Why are we having an award show if the people that apparently know about movies think that's one of at least the 10 best movies of the year?
Yeah, I don't know.
It's just outrageous.
I don't know. I didn't see Green Book. I didn't know it existed. The one that won Best Picture. Same. I haven't seen Black Klansman.
That's a really good movie.
I haven't watched Black Panther yet. I haven't seen Roma, The Favorite. And these are
Black
a lot of
Panther?
Vice. No, I know. It's on Netflix too. It's sad, but fuck. I apologize. We weren't supposed to do this.
Yeah. Okay. We're done.
This was the whole thing we wanted to avoid, and we did it. We talked all about it. They won again. Damn it.
But shouts to Gaga and Cooper. Yeah. I mean, you also. And just to put a bow on the performance, because that's what everyone's talking about.
Yeah.
He pulled it off. He's not the greatest singer in the world, but he was a professional singer last night.
Yeah. On stage in front of the best in the world.
And he looks the part. With that last shot, when they're sitting there and they're singing in the same microphone, it's like, God damn, this is good. This is some good stuff.
And you're not emotional. Like, you're not like, hey, that's an international musician star and a movie star pretending to be an international musician. Like, no, you're just like, those are two musicians.
Yeah. You know? No, it was good. It makes me wonder anyway, and I know you're trying to move on. Ross is very unhappy with me.
I'm unhinged. Unhinged.
It makes you wonder, like, if he has, like, 3 movies that bomb in a row.
Right.
How long before he has, like, a country music career?
Yeah.
Because you know that there are people in Nashville like, I can't wait to sign him up.
I'm sure that there are people desperately attempting to contact Bradley Cooper in an effort to manage his music career, and yeah, they're going to have a tough time because he's not going to have like three back-to-back bombs. Even if he has one, everybody's seen the talent this dude brings to the table at this point. I wouldn't bet on him failing much, you know?
Yeah,
I sure hope not.
You know, he's married to Irina Shayk.
Yeah, it seems like he's in an unfailable situation.
Yeah, he just crushed like every possible asset or aspect of the Hollywood career thing in like a 10-year period. Unbelievable.
The Hangover guy is on top.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say that.
He did it, man.
He was in The Hangover, and look
really,
at him now.
He really did it. I saw a tweet joke that I'm sure has been made like a billion times now about that. That was like he went from substitute teaching and stealing kids' money to go to Vegas to winning the Oscars or whatever. Anyway,
American dream.
Congratulations to us too. We did it. I felt like we were a big part of this movie and this song. The RBP gang was. So, in my opinion, we all won an Oscar last night. Moving on. Now, a word from our sponsor, Manscaped. You ever gone to do a little trimming of the hedges downstairs and accidentally nicked your ball sack? Yeah, it happens. It happens a lot to everybody who doesn't use the Manscaped Lawnmower 2.0, which features skin-safe technology, and it will never nick or snag your nuts. That feeling is the absolute worst. It's because you're using a tool that's not, you're using it for the wrong purpose. Most of you are like doing what I used to do, which is after your old face shaving razor, electric razor gets old, you retire it to become your downstairs mix-up razor, and then that's not what it was designed for. Okay, but that's what the Manscaped Lawnmower 2.0 is designed for. And Manscaped is the only men's brand dedicated to below-the-waist grooming and hygiene. This trimmer will not nick or snag your nuts. It's 100% waterproof and shock-resistant, too, which is awesome. These are precision tools for your family jewels at Manscaped. Their product line was created specifically for a man's distinctive grooming needs below the waist, featuring specially formulated products to cleanse, moisturize, and deodorize. Manscaped also features tools engineered to give every gentleman a close, refined appearance. Their number one selling product is their product bundle, the Perfect Package 2.0 Manscaping Kit, which you can check out on their website today. You get several different things.
I just got this in the mail.
So did I.
And it is dope.
Oh, yeah.
It's a good-looking package. It sounds a little...
No pun intended.
But it's sharp. It's it comes
no pun intended again.
Yeah. You'll like this. This is... You open this up and you feel special. This is a nice piece.
Okay, there wasn't a pun as well. Yeah. Wow. This is a nice piece. Is this intentional?
Keep it going. What's wrong with you? More.
My God. No, you must stop.
Your balls will thank you.
Yeah, they will.
That's their actual tagline. That's not even me freestyling.
No, that's not even Micah making something up. Get 20% off your entire order on Manscaped by using the code RBP. Go to manscaped.com today. Mark Cuban offered Manscaped a deal on Shark Tank, which is just cool. And to learn more about Manscaped's revolutionary products, go to manscaped.com, M-A-N-S-C-A-P-E-D.com, and use the code RBP when you check out to get 20% off your entire order. Next segment, this is my swing thought. So I played golf this Sunday with my friend Jay, who, by the way, he expressed his dissatisfaction with, in particular, Micah and I's saxophone impressions and other musical musings as of late. So I wanted to apologize because I know some of the noises we make on this show sometimes come out in funny ways from certain speakers and shit. And I recall making saxophone noises with my mouth and with my co-host, Micah. And it was, we did it for an extended period of time. I'll just say that. It had to have been a painful experience.
Again, it turned into something we weren't expecting.
Yes.
This was not the plan.
But anyway, we played golf and we had a blast, but I played like total and utter shit. It was just another one of those days. This is like two rounds in a row. I hit maybe, you know, five, six good shots the whole round. The rest were all trash, all shit. Couldn't putt, couldn't chip, couldn't count to keep score. I was just mentally fucked the whole time. It got to the point where I was like, what the fuck even is my swing thought? Do I even know? So then I documented it the next time I addressed the ball. And here it is. This is my swing thought during golf. For those of you who don't know, your swing thought is what you think when you're going to address the ball and then when you swing. It's your swing thought. Okay, so here's mine. All right, don't fucking miss. Are you standing too close? Everybody's been telling you stand too close for a decade. Fuck them, your feet are fine. Your back, it's your back that needs to be straightened out. Straight as a board. Straight as James Bond. Poke that ass out, too. It's weird, sure, but do it for sports. Is the ball too far forward in your stance? People have been telling you the ball is too far forward in your stance for a decade. Fuck them, your ball's fine. Just swing, man. This is getting ridiculous. You're thinking too much. Just keep your head down. Keep your eyes on the ball, your shoulders square, activate your hips, stay down on it, keep your knees slightly bent, your right arm straight, your stance slightly closed, and don't forget to go fuck yourself. That's my swing thought. So maybe a sports psychologist could analyze that for me and let me know what I need to work on. I'm very bad at golf right now, so I need a new swing thought. That can't be it. All right? Next segment. Badass pirates you haven't heard of. Today's badass pirate, we're a pirate podcast, by the way. His name is Pedro Gilbert. He's a Spanish pirate. I don't know if we've had one of these before. Actually, the last true pirate to raid the Atlantic, and has several landmarks and locations named after him in Florida and other Atlantic inlets. He was also known as Don Gilbert to his crew, which is tight. And this was a ruthless dude. He rolled with a ruthless crew. They sailed aboard a ship called the Panda, which I love. Kung Fu Panda is a top five movie of all time, by the way. It was strategically built to sail in both deep and in shallow waters. Good thinking there by these pirates. Panda, 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 Panda. I miss that song. Whatever happened to that guy? Where's he at?
Designer?
Yeah.
That's a good question. I don't know.
I hope he's not like, I'm starting to get the, you know, tipsy vibes, Jaquan vibes from this guy. Like, he just disappears and we'll never see him again. It'll be like, what happened to Jaquan?
Could be the case.
Everybody in the club was getting tipsy and now he's just, nobody's in the club. What happened?
Or he could be a venture capitalist now, for all we know.
Yeah, like Cam?
Yeah.
Like Chameleonaire?
Yeah.
Tremillionaire?
We miss you, Cam. Come back.
Yeah, we do miss you. Anyway, Don Gilbert and his crew earned their living by smuggling liquor, tobacco, and cigars. Though that's obviously not what made them famous. One of the things that made them famous is it was a signature move they had where they would hide in protected coves or lagoons and lure unsuspecting vessels in with fake distress signals. And then when the merchant ships would come to help, they'd crash into the shallow waters or fall victim to an ambush. And Don Gilbert was not the type to leave any witnesses and was famously quoted saying, "Dead cats don't mew, you know what to do." That can't be real. I found this on multiple websites, that this fucking "dead cats don't mew, you know what to do." Did he take Dead Men Tell No Tales and try to make his own version of it related to cats and mewing? And is a mew the same thing as a meow? You're just one letter short. I don't know. I'm just giving you the facts I've been given by the internet, all right? Anyway, this method of piracy, this hiding in coves and lagoons and basically trapping people, it worked well for many years until the day the Panda chose to target the American vessel, the Mexican. Another great ship name, if you ask me. The Mexican was traveling from Massachusetts to Argentina with $20,000 worth of silver on board when Don Gilbert, feeling cocky, followed the Mexican into open waters and attacked the vessel head-on. His crew boarded the ship and locked the men below deck, stole the money, and set the ship on fire. But many of the Mexican's crew survived the fire and made it to Salem, where they reported the crime. And from then on, Don Pedro Gilbert and his crew were hunted by the ever-growing British Royal Navy, which, as we know, for those of us who have watched Pirates of the Caribbean, is a problem. It took them years to catch him. But eventually they did. On June 11th, 1835, Don Pedro and four of his men were hanged until dead in front of over 20,000 spectators. 20,000 spectators? How the fuck they filled up Madison Square Garden to see this guy get hanged? That's crazy. With four of his men. Anyway, both Gilbert's life and the world of high seas piracy ended that day or shortly after, but his legend still lives on. Gilbert, by the way, held the distinction of taking part in the last recorded act of piracy in Atlantic waters. Although, separately, the distinction of last American pirate actually belongs to Nathaniel Gordon, who was executed in 1862 for attempting to smuggle African slaves in violation of the Act to Protect the Commerce of the United States and Punish the Crime of Piracy that was established in 1819. Anyway, all that being said, there is a sandbar off of Stewart, which the pirates often used to lure unsuspecting ships. It is marked on nautical charts as Gilbert's Bar in honor of today's badass pirate you haven't heard of, Pedro Gilbert. And now a word from our sponsor, Bespoke Post. When you're constantly on the go, grinding away at the office or hanging out with your friends, or just not much time to think about upgrading your style or apartment, for that matter. And that's why I love getting a new box of awesome from Bespoke Post every single month. These guys are scouting out quality and unique products to send me in each and every box, and you can experience the same thing too now at boxofawesome.com. To get started, you just visit boxofawesome.com. You answer a few short questions that will help them get a feel for the boxes that'll best go with your style. And then whether you're in the search of the perfect drink or a well-kept pad or jet setting in style, Bespoke Post improves your life one box at a time. Each box goes for under $50, but it has more than $70 worth of unique gear waiting inside for you. The first of each month, you'll receive an email with your box details. Then you'll have 5 days to change colors and sizes and add extra goods to your box. And if you're not feeling that month's box, you can simply skip it. From barrel aging kits to limited edition cigars, weekender bags to classy dop kits, Bespoke Post offers essential goods and guidance for the modern man. RBP gang, 20% off your first subscription box is what you're being offered. All you have to do is go to boxofawesome.com and enter the code RBP at checkout. That's boxofawesome.com. Code RBP, 20% off your first box. Bespoke Post. Themed boxes for guys that give a damn. Next segment. The importance of small talk. So historically, I have not been a fan of small talk. I don't like bullshitting. I tend to think of myself as like too busy or too important or too cool to bullshit with people on a meaningless level where neither of us is really picking up important information. And yesterday, when I was playing golf with my buddy Jay, we had a lot of small talk going back and forth. Like, you know how golf course bullshit is. It's the same thing. I was going to title the segment The Importance of Golf Course Bullshit, but it's really just small talk in general. So we were doing the whole golf course bullshit thing, and I was kind of thinking to myself, like, it's funny how we're making all this small talk, like me and this dude that I'm very good friends with. And then last night when I was laying in bed, it kind of hit me why we have small talk and how it works. And it really, this is what it is. It gives you and the person you are having small talk with or golf course bullshit or whatever, the opportunity to touch on many different areas in a quick, you know, manner and see if the other person needs to delve deeper into any of them in particular with like a, well, actually. And what I mean by that is like, all right, let's say I'm playing golf with some dude named Jimmy. And I'm like, Jimmy, how are things at home going? Like, how's Sally, your wife, doing? And he's like, well, actually. And then that's an opportunity for Jimmy to jump off about how things are actually terrible at home. And he needs to talk to somebody about it to try to straighten his fucking head out or whatever. Like, that is why we have small talk. So you can poke and prod and get a feel for like what's going on or what somebody might need to talk about or maybe need to expand upon, or you're just checking all the boxes with your people to make sure everybody's straight. They've got the opportunity to talk with you if they need to, but at the same time, if they don't want to, just keep it on the base level. You know what I'm saying? Like, it just gives you the chance to check all your boxes, to make sure your people are good, and if they're not, to give them an opportunity to try to fix what's what. Do you small talk a lot, AJ? You don't strike me as a small talker.
Well, I mean, I have to small talk because I like to meet girls, like especially when you go out and just around campus.
It's the only way to strike up a conversation with women. Is like,
yeah, you can't come in there too hot, you know? You have to engage in awkward small talk. I say awkward because it usually is awkward at first, especially if it's a girl you've never talked to met before.
Yeah, it's awkward to talk to a stranger, someone who doesn't know you and you don't know them. Yeah. And you're obviously trying to stick it in them, you know? They know that from the get-go. makes it awkward. It's an awkward sitch.
But the great thing about college is we all have that common ground because we're all students. So you can easily delve into the topics of, oh, what's your major? Where are you from? What are you studying? What do you think about this class?
That's true.
Which you don't get in the real world.
Like, we have versions of it. We have the weather. We all go to the weather.
How's your wife? How's your husband?
Hey, did you see Lady Gaga on Sunday?
It's fucking weather, huh? Hey, you listen to the latest RBP? That's what everybody says to each other is small talk these days. Did you know? Yeah, you knew.
I mean, I bring it up.
Anyway, I just wanted to like take a moment to give small talk some love because it's like one of those things that I feel like I've hated on forever and it used to bug the fuck out of me. And then I had this epiphany, this moment of clarity, if you will, that kind of gave me the reason for the season, if you won't, which you won't. Moving on, next segment. Anxiety antidotes. Not anecdotes, antidotes. Today's anxiety antidote, for those that, like, we talk about anxiety, mental health a lot on this show, if you're new here. And one of the things we like to do is provide our audience with anxiety antidotes, which are helpful things that during a time of great anxiousness or panic, you can turn to that will hopefully help you. Or we also do anxiety anecdotes, which are little stories I tell that relate to anxiety. This is not that. This is the former, not the latter. Today's anxiety antidote is the joy of painting with Bob Ross. Y'all know this shit. You know who Bob Ross is. I have a Bob Ross bobblehead, by the way, as one of the bobbleheads in my collection. Bob Ross, that dude that used to paint with the white man with an afro, okay? And the joy of painting was his TV show. It was an American half-hour instructional series hosted by Bob Ross. It ran from January 11th of 1983 all the way until May 17th of 94. That's 11 years Bob Ross was painting on TV for you people. And by the way, the reason this is relative today is these are all available on Netflix now, believe it or not. And again, no one at Netflix is paying us any money, which is baffling to me. They should give us some of that money they get. They got too much. And we talk about Netflix like 30% of this show at this point. Anyway, in each episode, Bob Ross taught techniques for landscape oil painting specifically. And he would complete a painting in each session, in each episode of the show. And the program followed the same format as its predecessor. He had a show before this show even called The Magic of Oil Painting. Actually, it wasn't Bob Ross's. It was his mentor, Bill Alexander. Apparently, during its run, it won 3 Emmy Awards. So, very successful show. Anyway, the way The Joy of Painting works, as you'll see when you watch it on Netflix, if you have anxiety, it's a 30-minute show. It usually starts with Bob Ross or a guest standing in front of a blank canvas against a white or black background, which is already something very peaceful and relaxing about. It's the fresh start of a blank canvas against the black background. He had all kinds of guests, longtime friends, his son, Steve, his old instructor, and a lot of others. Anyway, he would run the colors across the screen, and he turned the blank canvas into an imaginary landscape using the wet-on-wet oil painting technique in which the painter continues adding paint on top of still wet paint rather than waiting for each layer of paint to dry. He combined that method with the use of 2-inch and other type of brushes as well as painting knives, allowing him to paint trees, water, clouds, and mountains in a matter of seconds. So he shows all these techniques to the audience, and the way he talks is I'm not even going to try to do a Bob Ross. It's very peaceful as well, and you're watching a white guy with an afro get some strokes in here. Each painting would start with simple strokes that appeared to be nothing more than smudges of color, but as Bob added more and more, you'd see the blotches transform into these intricate landscapes, and that's kind of how life works too, isn't it? Every painting is a metaphor for life. Anyway, he added comments describing his things he's painting, like happy little clouds. And, oh, we're just going to put this happy little bush over here. That'll just be our little secret. Nobody else will know about that. You've seen Family Guy. Happy little trees or whatever. Very happy. Everything's a happy. Or a baby squirrel or a deer. We're just going to put a little raccoon over here. You got to watch the show if you needed another anxiety antidote. This is a good one. Bob Ross is The Joy of Painting with Bob Ross, which I believe, again, is available now on fucking Netflix. Of course it is. Why wouldn't it be? And now a word. Oh, you know what? Best place to watch Bob Ross and relieve all your anxiety? under your gravity blanket, baby. This is the blanket revolutionizing people's sleep, and our latest sponsor, Gravity Blankets. Gravity is a rest and relaxation brand that's dedicated to providing consumers with low-tech, prescription-free solutions for sleep and stress. We love sleep, and we love to treat stress here. This is what we do. Their core product is the Gravity Weighted Blanket. It comes in a variety of styles. They also have a variety of other sleep products like the weighted sleep mask. Basically, the inspiration for this company was that it seemed like every day there were new stats from organizations like the American Psychological Association about how society was getting more and more stressed out and sleep problems like insomnia were becoming more widespread, but treatments were often relegated to pharmaceuticals. And knowing that weighted blankets had been around for decades in niche medical communities to treat disorders like PTSD and autism, Gravity realized there was space in the market to bring this scientifically proven treatment to the market in a premium high-end format. And that's where these Gravity blankets came from. They're perfect for anybody who suffers from poor sleep or commonly deals with stress and anxiety. These are issues that impact people of all ages, from all backgrounds, in every sort of location. As we've discussed, there's nothing to be ashamed of with anxiety, and there's many, many things to help you along the way, one of which, the Gravity Blanket. It's a premium-grade therapeutic weighted blanket engineered to be around 10% of your body weight. Again, these are very well known within the medical community. They're designed to reduce anxiety by mimicking the sensation of being hugged or embraced. They took these proven anti-anxiety properties and stylized the product for the modern consumer. Gravity is available in three weights, 15, 20, and 25 pounds, in three colors, space gray, galaxy blue, and moon ivory. It's powered by science and engineered by you, engineered for you, and this is how it works. Deep touch pressure stimulation has been shown to increase serotonin and melatonin, the hormones responsible for calming relaxation, while decreasing cortisol, the hormone responsible for stress. This natural physiological approach decreases heart rate, blood pressure, and more, improving mood and promoting restful sleep and relaxation. Go buy your Gravity Blanket now at gravityblankets.com. Get 15% off using the code RBP at checkout. Stylish and functional, these premium-grade therapeutic weighted blankets engineered, again, to be about 7 to 12% of your body weight with gridded stitching that ensures the blanket's internal microbeads remain uniformly distributed. Go gravityblankets.com. RBP is the code for 15% off. Next segment. Worst ways to go. Here's a Wall Street Journal headline that my buddy Thomas sent me over the weekend. Glencore contractor in Congo spills acid, killing 20. Holy shit. That's intense. This is bad. This is very bad. And it inspired the first ever edition of Worst Ways to Go. So a truck owned by a contractor for a Glencore PLC mining company. Basically, the stupid version of this is there's a mining company in the Democratic Republic of the Congo. Okay. That mining company owned a truck that crashed and spilled sulfuric acid onto two other vehicles, killing about 20 people. This happened over the weekend, or 5 days ago, so last week, February 20th. And according to Glencore Copper Company, Mutanda Mining Sarl, which employed the contractor, they're trying to say it wasn't their employee, that Mutanda Mining Sarl was the company that employed the person. They have said in a statement they're working with relevant government agencies, including the emergency services, to provide support to the victims and to the local communities. Sulfuric acid is not the way you want to go. It's used by mining companies in the process of refining copper ore. You don't want things that are used in the process of refining anything to be dumped onto your face or body or person. Okay, this is a shit way to go. This is being essentially melted alive. And this accident, as the Wall Street Journal puts it, I think, highlights the dangers mining operations can pose to communities around them and comes just weeks after a dam operated by iron ore giant Vale SA collapsed in Brazil. That collapse killed 171 people. It was the deadliest mining disaster in more than 50 years. Another 139 people are missing and presumed dead. In 2015, a dam failure by a veiled joint venture killed 19 people. In 2016, a landslide at another copper mine, majority owned by Glencore in the Congo, killed 7 workers. Isn't that crazy? I mean, people are just getting knocked off, like, all over the place. It's a dangerous fucking job, mining. You don't want to be a miner unless you have to, obviously, especially not in the fucking Congo, where they're driving around with trucks filled with acid that could just suddenly be tipped over and dumped onto your fucking head. Brutal. The Wall Street Journal reported earlier this week that Mutanda plans to cut about 2,000 workers, mostly contractors, from its workforce. And Glencore said Mutanda will produce about 100,000 metric tons of copper this year, down from 199,000 in 2018, and 25,000 tons of cobalt. Big cobalt fan. There isn't much information on this outside of what I've just given you. Like, that was literally all of it. Like, you could go research for 2 hours. That's all you're going to find, as of me writing the show today anyway. And that's just wild, because if this happened in a first world country, doesn't it feel like it would be crazy hot news? Like, no pun intended. Weird, so many puns. Doesn't it feel like it would be big time news? Like, if it bleeds, it leads. But if it melts in an acid spill, it leads the leaders. Like, wouldn't we be seeing that on our TV, Micah? Doesn't it feel like that?
You'd think so.
But yet we don't see shit about this because it's in the Congo.
Yeah, this is the first I've heard of it.
And it's like maybe a little too depressing. I don't know. Micah, what's the absolutely worst way to go for you? Like, for instance, Barrett, friend of the show, friend of mine, co-host on our Game of Thrones podcast called Oysters, Clams, and Cockles, he always contests that being buried alive would be the worst. That's like his greatest fear.
That's bad.
Yeah.
That's bad. I think burning with acid sounds, that's pretty much at the top of the list.
It's up there for me too.
Burning by fire would be really bad, I think. If someone if you got thrown into a fire.
Fire.
Or died in a fire. And not because of not like a house fire where you die of
asphyxiation.
Yeah. Like a fire where your skin burns.
Right. Your organs are on fire.
Yeah, like you can continue to breathe, but then you just burn to
death. You're just melting, yeah.
That sounds like the worst.
Yeah, I'm not down. AJ, what about you?
Well, I can't swim, so drowning would be up there for me, for one.
You can't swim?
What? No.
Why is that?
What?
Because I'm Asian? I don't know.
AJ. For the record, I'm here to tell you, you can swim.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to use that word.
You just haven't.
I've been in a lot of situations to where I've almost drowned just throughout the course of my life, like just from childhood.
What is going on here, AJ?
As a white guy who
let's get you some swim lessons.
Was brought up in the suburbs with neighborhood pools and shit, like this was always a crazy thing to me that there were people out there who didn't know how to swim. And I didn't know this until I got to high school and started going to school with a lot of black people. And that's where the stereotype of black people can't swim or don't know how to swim came in, which, by the way, I think there was a joke about that during the Oscars yesterday. It all comes full circle.
Yeah, it was with Michael B. Jordan.
There it was.
And that other girl when they're on stage, they're making a lot of
he's like, why would you ask me that?
Yeah.
When she's like, do you know how to swim? And that's because it's a joke in the black community and in the white community too. Anyway, for racist. But you don't know how to swim.
I don't.
Man. Is that like a thing? Okay.
Huh.
I'm not trying to be a dick at all.
No, let's go.
Is that like a thing that beyond a certain point, a certain age, you're just like, you know what? I'm this many years deep. Fuck it. I'm not learning how to swim.
I'd say so because, I don't know. I mean, there are times where I definitely wish I knew how to swim because, you know, I miss out on a lot of water.
Let me guess.
Related activities.
Because chicks are in the river.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why.
Pool parties.
Lots of pool parties. Lots of water in San Marcos. Fortunately for you, you're not short, so you can just stand in the water.
But, you know, it's a lot of TNA I'm missing out on, so.
That's true. That's fair.
That's definitely not good.
Creepy ass AJ, man. all right. I'll say there's not like none of the quick deaths. Like, I don't know if even fire. Okay. Burning alive would suck. Drowning would absolutely suck. Don't get me wrong. But it's the long drawn out death that scares me. Like, you know, if you got like terminal cancer and you know it's over, it's just all a waiting game from there. That's fucking brutal. And the funny thing is, that's every living human. Like, we all have an expiration date. We're all terminal. We're all going to die. Arian Foster told us that. There's a deep, deep thought to end this episode on.
Hey, do you know what the best way to die would probably be?
Not at all.
I'm just saying, you know, the best way, if you had to choose, it's probably if you're, like, having sex and, like, mid-climax, like you have a heart attack or just something takes you out in that moment because like there's that moment of euphoria, but then you die. So
you know,
it's
this,
like,
this is a,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, it's there's a whole problem with erotic asphyxiation, and it's mostly like old rich white guys who are depressed choking themselves with belts and then passing out. Didn't
Well, I'm not talking about that exactly.
Oh, what are you talking about?
Just, I don't know, just like,
well,
you're just,
what's happened to the show today?
I don't know, but
it's fucking AJ,
I'm trying to be team content right now, and apparently it's
he's
not
out
working
here
out.
He just wants to chokesterbait. What's it, what do I call it?
Is that what that's called?
Is that what I call it? I call it something. I don't think that's it. For the record, I've never done this. It's just a really, really funny concept. That, for those of you who are listening right now and you're like, wow, what has happened at the end of this podcast? Typically, we don't go this off the rails, but certain people, certain human beings become more aroused when their oxygen is cut off. So they, you can Google it. You'll learn on your own if you want to learn. Just Google erotic asphyxiation.
It's more common than you think.
Yeah, maybe, just Google it on your school computer.
Don't do that. Maybe
or at your office.
Maybe in, you know, secret mode.
Secret mode?
What's it called?
Incognito.
Incognito. Private mode.
Secret mode. Mike is secret mode. That's not... Anyway, we've reached the point in the show where I now have to inform you of your two legal obligations that you have been saddled with as a result of having listened to this entire podcast. First, you must rate and review, specifically on Apple Podcasts. We don't mind if you listen on Spotify or anywhere else for that matter, but we want you to rate specifically and review specifically on Apple Podcasts. It's the biggest podcast platform still. It's the one where the ratings and reviews matter the most. So give us 5 stars and write 2 or 3 sentences about why you like the show, why other people should listen to it, why you recommend it. And there you go. You're done with your first legal obligation. Secondly, you must tell one person, whether it be a family member, a coworker, a neighbor, a friend, any one individual you can think of that you think would enjoy RBP and the Ross Bolin podcast, that would fit in well with the gang, you got to tell them about the show. One person this week, one person next week, one person every week until the week you die. Those are your two legal obligations. Fulfill them both, and I will call off the dogs. You will not have to see me in court. We will both save money and time and die happier. Follow us on Instagram at the Ross Bolin Podcast. We're on Twitter at Ross Bolin Pod. We're also on Facebook somewhere, allegedly. Nobody knows where. Nobody cares. You can follow me, Ross Bolin, on Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat at WRBOLEN, at WRBOLEN on all three, and then add me on twitch.com/BossRolen, BOSSROLEN, to watch me stream Apex Legends, Fortnite on occasion, maybe even a little Rocket League here and there, FIFA, NBA 2K. It just depends how I'm feeling. twitch.com/BossRolen. Micah, where can the good members of the RBP gang follow
you, know
you and
you
hear more from
me.
You?
You know where you can follow me, at Micah Weiner, MICHWIENER on Twitter and Instagram. The road to 3,000 likes on my last post continues. We're getting there. And, you know, now's a great time to follow because I will be providing excellent content this weekend from Santa Fe, New Mexico.
Wow. Oh, also hashtag road to 3,000.
Yes. Hashtag road to 3,000. Vacation Micah coming this weekend.
It's a long hashtag. Hashtag road to 3,000. Vacation Micah coming this weekend. Intern AJ, where can people follow you?
Twitter and Instagram, I'm at capital AJ, CAPITAL, AJ. And then as always, if you're a hot girl, just DM me. You can get the Snapchat.
Just all in on the
serious inquiries only.
Your personal brand has derailed into this creepy zone of sexuality that I'm fully forcing you to commit to at this point, and I'm all here for it. It's
trying
great.
To develop my own character on the show.
It's
so.
Just a... It's,
I'm in on it, too.
Yeah, it's a deviant
This is
character.
Who I am now.
This is...
I'm too deep. We're too far in now.
You're going to need to what's the word I'm going to...
Rebrand?
Yeah, whatever. My brain is done. We're done here. Go to rowdygentleman.com/gang. Get yourself a gang cube shirt. Use the code RBP15 for 15% off your entire order on Rowdy Gentleman. And if you spend more than $50, you will get free shipping. We will catch you next time on episode 151. RBP 151 is coming tomorrow. I'm going on vacation later this week, which we'll talk a little bit about tomorrow. And as a result, these will be the only two live episodes, like if you will, live that y'all will get this week. The other one is going to be a best of that I am personally, I guess, designing. But I'm picking the segments, being my point. So you got that to look forward to. Stay strong out there. If you're one of the quitters like me who quit on quitting day, do not quit quitting. if you are participating in Quitting Day. We are almost 2 weeks deep. 2 weeks deep tomorrow. Let's fucking go. Gang, gang, gang. Peace be with you and also with you. Gang, gang, gang. Cut the check.